Everyone, thank you for tuning into the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. It's September 2017, and you're listening to episode 51 of Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by our resident film reviewer, Dr. John McAteer. John is an assistant professor and chair of the online liberal arts program at Ashford University. He has a BA in film from Biola University, a MA in Philosophy of Religion and Ethics from Talbot School of Theology, and a PhD in Philosophy from the University of California at Riverside. John has written a film review about the faith-based film All Saints called The Apologetics of Community in All Saints, and it's available free online at our website, equip.org. John, it's good to have you on.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure.
Well, I saw this film, and one of the things that I thought was interesting was that it was distributed by the normal, you know, kind of faith-based company, but also Sony has like a branch of faith-based inspirational films. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And then when I actually was in the middle of the film, for some reason, I didn't realize it was based on a true story until I got into the film. And it's based on this Episcopal priest, Reverend Michael Spurlock, I guess, priest, he's a priest, and he was in Tennessee. So I thought that was really interesting. I guess I went into it a little bit cold. I saw a few reviews, but I kind of just really skimmed it. I didn't really want to know too much about it. So as the story unfolded, it was all new to me. So what's this movie about exactly?
Yeah, well, it is based on a true story. I didn't know the story myself before I watched the film. But apparently, you know, there's this, you know, priest, Episcopal priest or pastor who was, this was his first job, and, you know, the denomination sent him to this small church in rural Tennessee, really with the idea that he was going to close down the church. There were, I think, in the movie, there were only 12 people attending the church still, so, you know, very small, basically, you know, dying church, and he's there to kind of, they say, inventory the property and then kind of sell it off. And he's only given this church really because they assume that it's dying, and he doesn't have any experience. He's from a business background, and this is he's just been ordained as a pastor. So he goes into this this old dying church. They're very, from my point of view, you know, very backward-looking. They're very nostalgic. They literally, at one point, they're flipping through picture books, looking about the, you know, the old days of when everything was great at this church, where it was vibrant and you know, important part of the rural town. And you know, like a lot of churches these days, you know, that are you know, dwindling and things are changing. A lot of the people in this town have gone over to this this mega church. But these people are staying at the older church because, you know, they think the mega church is just too big, and there isn't the sense of community that they really miss about their small church. You know, nobody knows your name at the mega church, they say. So anyway, this pastor's there, and he just almost kind of randomly, or you might say through the providence of God, these Christian refugees from Burma show up. They were, you know, converted to Christianity by missionaries in Burma, and then there's the civil war, and you know, they're forced out of their homes and end up in this small town in Tennessee, and they're really not having, they don't really know how to navigate the social services and to get the help that they need, but they see this flyer for the church there, and they say, oh, well, that's an Anglican church, like the church we went to back home, and so they show up at this this very tiny church. You know, they, way more, I don't know how many there were, like 100 refugees, that so way more of them than the attendees at the church, and they really really, you know, cause this whole revitalization in a way. I mean, that's the story of the movie. I won't go through all the things that happen, but the church ends up building a farm there on the property to try to feed the refugees and to give them jobs and things and to make money. It's really a story about a dying church that is resurrected through this encounter with these people that are in need, these Christians that come in from the outside. And it's kind of a beautiful little story.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was interesting. At the end of the film, you want to find out more. And actually, I've seen photos of the original church. It's actually only 8 people when he gets there.
Yeah.
And it's very small. And then they show pictures of the church after. And there's way more than 100 people. I mean, it looks like 150 people are members of their church. And it's predominantly these Karen people from Burma, which I wasn't really familiar with their whole history, and they kind of mentioned some of that in the film. So, something that caught my attention about this film originally when we were talking about doing another film review is that it got fairly good reviews even from, secular non-religious sources. So do you think it's much better than other faith-based movies that are out there that usually get derided in terms of movie reviews?
Well, maybe. I mean, it's a good film. I wouldn't say it's not going to win any Oscars, or it's not going to be maybe a classic that we're still watching in 50 years or something like that. But, it was entertaining and worth watching. Maybe slightly better than some of the more popular faith-based Christian films, just in terms of, the acting was pretty good. And, I thought it wasn't completely predictable. Sometimes these movies feel very kind of standard and they cliche, go through the motions. I was kind of surprised at some of the things that happened, maybe because it was a true story. So real life doesn't necessarily follow Hollywood plots all the time. So yeah, I thought it was good, but not as good as some of the reviews. Like you mentioned, the website Rotten Tomatoes, where they take an average, of all the reviews and how many are positive and how many are negative, and it got 93% of the reviews were counted as positive reviews, which that's crazy. That's really high, as if it were an Oscar movie. But so I think there's something going on, which we can talk about maybe later, about why secular reviewers would like this particular Christian film, even if it's not necessarily that much better than others.
I agree. I mean, I thought the acting was, like you said, better than most. I did feel like this could have been so much more in terms of the writing. I didn't think the writing was that strong. It was there were a lot of cliches in it. But like you said, I kept expecting the typical Hollywood plots, but maybe because it is what actually happened in real life that they had to follow that, it's unexpected. The turn of events and kind of like the big redemptive moment was not what I was expecting. So I think it has that going for it for sure. But I did note some just theological things about the movie. And so what did you find were interesting theological ideas in the movie?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a few. I think one of the main ideas that the movie itself is interested in is the idea of kind of the tension between institutions and kind of the following the Spirit and God's voice. So there's lots of talk in the movie about, and this is interesting too, about hearing God's voice and how does God speak to us, and God speaks in the film through things that seem to be kind of coincidences. It's not like this guy literally hears the voice of God booming out of the clouds, but he hears God's voice like all of us do in our everyday lives, just through an encounter we have with someone else, and we think later, that had to have been God guiding me to have that conversation at that particular time and place. And so there's some of those interesting conversations about hearing God's voice and following God's voice, and how do you know what God's voice is, especially in contrast to church institutions and traditions, and is the church here to pay the bills, or sometimes we have to do things and go out, step out in faith to do things that are new and not how we always do them, and maybe in contradiction to sort of what you might think of as the business side of church. You know, we've got to pay the bills, we've got to focus on budgets and things like that. But then when that comes into conflict with the pastoral needs of people. So that's some of the things that's discussed in the film. And then it comes another issue maybe is the issue of suffering and the problem of evil. I don't want to spoil all the twists and turns, but just in terms of when unexpected things happen, you know, when you think you're following God's will and then things don't necessarily work out the way that you thought that God was promising you that it would work out, you know, what's going on there and how God can take something that is unexpected and do, you know, something that seems bad and take it and use it to do something even better than what you could have imagined. So there's those kinds of theological discussions in there. One last one that I'll mention that I think is, again, one of the ones that the film itself is really interested in is the idea of, you know, faith as you know, letting go, but not just in letting go and just sort of letting God do what God's going to do, but also in the sense of recognizing that you as an individual are not self-sufficient. So there's a lot of the theme of community in the film. So the pastor's kind of character arc that he has to go through in the film is learning to not only to trust God, but to trust other human beings and to ask for help. So this is what he has to learn is like he as an individual pastor can't do everything, that he has to let parishioners do things and ask them for help, even outside of the church, to go to the community and ask them for help. And through recognizing that he is not going to control everything his own way and do it all by himself, he's able to actually build the church into a community where people know each other and rely on each other and that kind of thing. So it's a good reminder, I think, for those of us in ministry that you know we can't do it all by ourselves. And a reminder of what a church really is supposed to be about, you know, a family where everybody takes part.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is John McAteer. John has written a review about the faith-based film All Saints, and it's called The Apologetics of Community in All Saints, which is available free online at our website, equip.org. To read more cultural apologetics articles, including upcoming features on hip-hop covering Chance the Rapper and Kendrick Lamar, and the Emmy Award-nominated TV series The Handmaid's Tale, please subscribe to the journal. A six-issue subscription is $39.50, and to subscribe online, visit equip.org. We were just talking a little bit about some of the theological ideas in the film All Saints. Did you detect a bit of like progressive and liberal theology at times in the film?
Well, you know, maybe there was some discussion, especially toward the end of the film. You know, when the church is going through a crisis, which again, you know, I don't want to spoil, but they have help from people outside of the church, and there's people from other churches, from the mega church, you know, the evangelical church down the road, come and help, but also just non-Christians show up to help too. There's Buddhists and atheists and people like that. And so there was some, I didn't even remember the exact line, but there was some line about how, you know, this is what the, you know, God's family looks like, and how it just seemed a little close to kind of universalism. The idea that, you know, all religions are equal, which, you know, to be fair, this is a movie about an Episcopal church, and Episcopalians tend to be more liberal, at least on average, not all of them, obviously. But so there was some of that. And then there was also this idea, focus on, you know, social justice, which, again, is good. But, there wasn't a lot of focus on, you know, kind of traditional evangelism and things in the film, which I think is one reason why kind of secular film critics liked this, because it wasn't preachy. There wasn't necessarily like the conversion moment of when somebody, you know, asks Jesus into their heart or something like that. It's more about the work of the church being social justice, which, again, is certainly part of the church's work, but if that becomes the only thing that churches do, then something is missing. So there was that kind of liberal, bias, maybe, to some degree. But I think that does sort of... it raises an interesting question in the way that apologists should approach a film like this. Because I could see, I was tempted myself to kind of write a review of this, kind of picking on those kind of liberal elements of the film, and especially in response to the idea that that non-Christians really like this, right? So we mentioned the positive reviews. These were mainstream secular reviewers that were giving this film a really positive review. This is like the Los Angeles Times and places like that. So when I think to myself, well, why do they like, the secular people like this movie better than they like, God's Not Dead or some of these? I mean, God's Not Dead got 15% on Rotten Tomatoes compared to All Saints, which got a 93. So that's a huge difference. Why do they hate movies like God's Not Dead, besides that it's a little cheesy, maybe? I think there is a kind of political worldview kind of difference in this. But another way of looking at it, I think, rather than just sort of taking this kind of culture war attitude, we could just stop and think, is there something attractive about this picture that that's presented in All Saints? Is there something attractive here that is able to communicate the truth of Christianity to non-Christians in a way that a more kind of confrontational approach taken by another movie might repel them, right? I mean, Paul says that the gospel is offensive, but I don't think we have to go out of our way to make it as offensive as possible. We can still be winsome and try to present Jesus to people in a way that they can hear and recognize as good news for them. And I think this movie does actually do that in an interesting way. It presents Christians as really good people, which we don't see a lot in films these days. I wanted to be part of this church. I wanted to go to this church and be like these people. So they're sort of good role models. They're good people. There wasn't a lot of kind of conflict between them and non-Christians and that kind of thing, like you might see in a lot of these movies. So I think in a way, this movie presents a kind of apologetic for the truth of Christianity, in a way, by watching the way that it portrays Christians in the film.
It's interesting, in the actual book, there's a lot more depth, but one of the refugees who, is, I'm sure, a character in the film, talks about in the book how just through seeing these people demonstrate the love of Christ, which is not, like you were saying, it's not articulated where they'll say, okay, this is the gospel or whatever in this movie, because it does have more of a social justice kind of bent to it. But in the book, this one character, this person in real life that was part of the church, was saying that his faith in Christ became more real once he came to America and then saw these Christians reaching out to him. So I think that, that's something that's there that maybe is not as explicit in the film, which is maybe why secular reviewers liked it, because it wasn't so directly pointed to, the gospel. But the other thing that's probably helpful for Christians, because this is a true story, is to just think through just how other people, other believers, are suffering. And that's something he didn't realize. So the Reverend Spurlock, this one guy who kind of is the main character from that particular people group in Burma who kind of is the main spokesman because he speaks English and all these other people don't speak English. He's doing so much for them. He's doing all their finances and he's helping. And at one point in the movie, and this is not spoilers to the plot, the Spurlock child says to another kid, "Oh, where are your parents? Or aren't those your parents?" And he said, "No, they picked me at the refugee camp." So you get the idea that these Christians were really persecuted or somehow that, you know, something happened and their parents died. And then other people in their community had, before they came to America, decided to adopt these orphans and bring them back. So that's a really powerful, powerful scene. And so some of it's just more implied, I guess, in terms, as opposed to some faith-based films, like you said, that have the specific decision for Christ or they have the specific sermon that's in there. It's not necessarily done in that way in this film. So given that, how do you think that pastors and apologists and Christians can use this movie in outreach or in their work in apologetics?
Yeah, and I do think that the faith element is, it is explicit in the film in some way. I mean, there's those conversations, remember, between the pastor, the reverend, and his bishop, where he's trying to get permission to work with the refugees.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the institution is saying, well, no, you're just there to close the church down. And he says, you know, no, this is what we're here for. This is what Christ calls us to. This is the job of the church is to, do good to people and that kind of. So it is presented as, you know, Christian duty and as the love of Christ to people. It's not just, liberal do-goodism or something like that. So, but turning to the idea of pastors and apologists, I could definitely see a church discussion group, watching this movie, reading the book or whatever and talking about, you could certainly talk about the role of refugees, Christians who were persecuted around the world and forced to leave their homes and things like you discussed. I thought this movie did a great job of portraying those challenges that I had never really thought about for people. Like you said, the children who are separated from their parents, it's not clear whether his parents were killed or whether he was just separated, the effect of this on families who are forced to travel maybe separately. And then they get to the country, and like you said, they don't speak the language. Even the people who do speak English don't necessarily understand the system. They can't, they can't work at the, they're at the welfare office, and they don't know how to fill out the forms. They don't know how to do their, all the paperwork and things. They come to the church, and there's some, not really controversy or whatever, but the church is confused about why they're taking their shoes off, because in their culture that's a sign of respect when they come into church. There's a more serious scene between the police when a child is almost hit by a car, which the children don't know that they're not supposed to walk out in the street, and then he almost gets hit by a car, and then the police are there. And the police are trying to protect the child, but the parents think they're taking away the child. And so there's all of those kinds of misunderstandings and that almost erupt in violence there. Things that I hadn't really thought about that refugees are challenged with. So that's something that people could learn from. Also, the things that I have already talked about, just what are churches for? How do churches relate to their neighborhood and their towns? I think you could have a great discussion about that, just kind of missional ideas relating to the role of the church and what God calls churches to. That'd be a great discussion. And then in terms of apologetics, I think it raises some interesting questions, like I already was talking about how to defend the gospel in a way that might be different than typical apologetics do. If you think about a typical apologetics defending the faith, you're going to think about intellectual objections to Christianity, like, science says that, people don't come back from the dead, so I can't believe in the resurrection or whatever. And so apologists will go and like debate these kind of intellectual ideas, and that's great work, and that helps a lot of people. But then there are other people for whom the intellectual objections are secondary, I think. There are a lot of people today who, you know, one of your recent podcasts and articles, you had someone on talking about nuns, N-O-N-E-S, the people who are none of the above, who are leaving the church. But these people are not necessarily atheists. If you look at the percentage of people who believe in God in America, it's still very high, much higher than other countries. So people believe in God, they still say that they're spiritual, but then when you ask them what their religion is, they put none of the above. Well, why is that? Well, I think there's you know, bad publicity for Christians. There's been a lot of research by, you know, Lifeway research and people like that have shown that Christians have this reputation of being hypocritical, right? They say they believe in love and you know, welcoming people, and we'll talk a good game about, you know, even things like racial equality and stuff like that. But then when you really get down to it, you know, what are churches doing, and how are they actually supporting racial justice and welcoming people who are genuinely different and things like that? So that's, I think, a challenge that this movie shows. You know, what an apologetic, what a defense of Christianity could look like is actually doing real work, actually going and welcoming in these Christian refugees who have no place to go, and not just saying, well, that, you know, that's not our problem, to recognize that as the call of Christ on us to be his body in the world. So I think that's a kind of defense of faith. I mean, it reminds me of the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus says, Matthew 5, you know, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God, your Father who is in heaven. So I think, you know, we are to actually do these good works. That those good works are a way of proclaiming the gospel. They're a way of proclaiming that Christ's love is real, and that Jesus is not just some guy who lived a long time ago, but he is alive now and working through us and in the church to love people here today. So that's what I would call people to reflect on as they, you know, watch this film and that kind of thing.
Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid-fire questions for John. So, John, fall is starting. Are you a pumpkin spice latte fan?
Not at all. I think it's disgusting.
And what is some good advice you were recently given?
Good advice? I don't know. I can't even remember the last time I was given advice. Maybe people just know that I don't listen to advice. I don't know.
And is there a movie this fall or winter that you're most looking forward to seeing?
In the winter, for sure, it's got to be Star Wars, right? Next episode 8.
And is there any faith-based film or religious film that everyone should watch?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. I mean, there's a number of them. I mean, my favorite is always Babette's Feast, which was a Danish film about a small town that it's actually similar to All Saints. They have a revival because there's this woman in need who comes into their town, but then she ends up serving them as much as they serve her, and there's this moment of grace.
I have to echo that. Babette's Feast is an older film. I don't know, was it the 80s or something? And it's a foreign film, but it's one of the most moving films about faith that I've ever seen. So I would highly commend that one too. Well, thanks, John, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I'd like to make sure our listeners don't skip to the end of the credits. So starting with this episode, episode 51, like they do in films that have come out recently, especially some of those different like Marvel films and so forth, and superhero films, I'm going to have some bonus content at the end of the credits. Today's guest was John McAteer, and John has written a review about the faith-based film All Saints, and it's called The Apologetics of Community in All Saints, which is available free online at our website, equip.org. To read more cultural apologetics articles, including upcoming features on hip-hop covering Chance the Rapper and Kendrick Lamar, and the Emmy Award-winning nominated TV series, The Handmaid's Tale. Please subscribe to the journal, and a 6-issue subscription is $39.50. And to subscribe online, please visit equip.org. We'd like to hear from you, so connect with us on social media. Like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, and the Bible Answer Man on Twitter. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on iTunes. And please, we really need you to rate our podcast on iTunes and share this episode on your social media accounts. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by CRI President Hank Canegraph, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you go to equip.org, and you can also download our free smartphone app. And there you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live, listen to previous broadcasts, make a donation, and subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. In addition, head to iTunes and subscribe to Hank Unplugged, which is Hank's new audio podcast. You'll follow Hank off the grid, where he has in-depth conversations with some of the brightest minds discussing topics you care about. So until our next author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast. And now, from this episode number 51 and going forward, I'm going to be answering the rapid-fire questions as well. So fall is starting. Are you a pumpkin spice latte fan? No, I agree with John. Pumpkin spice lattes are absolutely disgusting. Good advice I was recently given actually came in the form of a sermon I was listening to, which was also a podcast. And they were talking about how the pastor was talking about how all of us, as people, we meditate on something. It might be some challenges we have in our life or something that we enjoy, but whatever we do, we're ruminating and meditating on something. And he talked about how the Word of God calls us to be meditating on God instead of other things. And in doing so, we really realize the great and vastness of the character of God. So that was good advice. And like John, I have to ditto that the movie I'm looking most forward to this fall in December is The Last Jedi. Star Wars is my favorite film, so of course I'm going to be there opening night. And the faith-based film that I think everyone should watch is also an older one. It's an Oscar winner, and it's Chariots of Fire. What does it mean to really walk with God and to follow Him and do what He calls us to do, even when we're given a big platform? It's about the Olympics, so I highly recommend that to you.